This is Karen Lyle of Sailsport Talk, catching up with the America's Cup and an update from the New York Yacht Club's American Magic team. The first AC-40 arrived and was launched at Pensacola, with Claire Harrington, Rear Commodore of the New York Yacht Club, christening the new yacht with the name America in homage to the yacht that started everything back in 1851. Here is an update from the American Magic team, including Terry Hutchinson, Andrew Campbell, Paul Goodson, Tom Slingsby, Tom Burnham, and Riley Gibb.
The AC-40 is a 40-foot foiling monohull. Every team has one because as part of our entry into the America's Cup, we had to purchase one for America's Cup World Series events, and then also the knock-on initiative of the Youth and Women's America's Cup.
All the departments have shifted over into 40 mode for a little while here to study it, understand what the dynamics are, and we kind of know what the difficult points of getting the big boat around the racetrack are, and this boat allows us to kind of get through those sticky points and learn deeper into some of the kind of more core problems.
The AC-40 is going to be a great boat for us for learning, for developing. Even though we've only sailed for a week, we can already see how good the boat is.
It's amazing how Team New Zealand have essentially designed a boat that's so simple and effective. The autopilot system works unbelievably. It makes it very simple to sail.
It's been pretty wild. Like, we went out the first day, left the dock, did the tow testing that's required to just check the systems and everything. We hoisted some sails, checked the geometry of the sails. We cut the tow and sheeted in, and 3 minutes later we were foiling, and the first maneuver was a foiling tack.
It's just been such a joy. Like, imagine driving around a go-kart on a track that you can just envision on your own, and you know, there's no bumpers, there's no, you know, real track lines or anything. You're just making it up as you go and can throw an attack or drive wherever you want. And the boat's extremely responsive.
The AC-40 with four people on board is two helmsmen and two trimmers. The windward helmsman is steering the boat. The only real control that they need to do besides steering the boat is putting the board down and pulling the board up. The leeward helmsman is sort of like the flight controller. It's an autopilot on flight control in the AC-40, but there's still a lot of settings involved in getting the boat to foil properly.
The automation of the flight control, it allows us to really push the boat quite hard, especially trying various complex maneuvers.
If you put the bow down and you want to go fast upwind, you can go really fast, but you're also not going to be going as high as the boat next to you. So finding that mode and picking the right mode at the right time is going to be crucial. It's an easy boat to sail, but I think it's going to take a long time for us to get all the settings right and figure out exactly how to sail this boat to its full potential.
Hey, Karen and Sailsport Talk. This is Terry Hutchinson with the New York Yacht Club American Magic. Appreciate all the support that you're giving to us and returning the Cup to the right spot in New York City.
All right, thank you for that. And yes, it's Tuesday, it's 9:40. You're here at Christopher Cross, and it is time to talk with Karen Lyle from SailsportTalk.com, who co-hosts this segment with me. Karen, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Rick. And yourself, how are you?
Not too bad, thanks. Let's bring in our guest. It is Chris Poole, who has just skippered his boat to win the Congressional Cup. And not only to win the Congressional Cup, which is part of the Long Beach Yacht Club, we've been talking about it, but he was undefeated. Chris, as you know, in sports, we call that a sweep. Has any skipper ever done that?
Yeah, thanks for having me on the show. It's I don't think anyone was able to find anything in the history books that anybody has gone undefeated through 24 races with a double round robin format at this event. And I'm not sure about internationally on the world tour, but I think it's also a first.
So, Chris, you've been actually in this race for a long time, so when you finally won it, you really did it big.
Yeah, it was, I guess if you're going to win a historic event, you might as well go for the big win right off the bat. But yeah, no, this is our fifth Congressional Cup. The first one was a big learning experience. We finished up in last place, and there's a very prestigious award called the Book that is handed out. It's from a member of the club, past member of the club. It's called How to Sail Your Boat Right. It's a bit of a joke, but they hand it out to every skipper who gets, unfortunately takes the last spot on the list. at the end of the regatta. And to be fair, a lot of the past winners are also have also been on that trophy. So I've now got the book ends, got the book, and now I've won the Congressional Cup.
You know, for me, when I think about all these sailors from around the world coming together, how much of it was your savvy and experience, and how much of it was dumb luck? Because I guess you kind of need the wind to go just right. But then again, you got to know what you're doing. What is it about that kind of feel for the event you have to have?
Yeah, having time on the water at this specific event is always key, and having the right people on your boat. This event always brings the best sailors in the world. So to be able to be successful at it, you have to have a good team. You do have to have a bit of luck. But, you know, luck is just excellent preparation coming together. And I think that's kind of what we saw this week was, you know, we put the time in. We had a training camp out there 2 weeks before the event with one of the would-be competitors and another one who won his way into Ficker Cup, Chris Weiss and Dave Hood. They helped us get warmed up and kind of get into the groove for the week of racing that we had.
Tell us a little bit about your team and the performance of your members who helped you out with this win.
Yeah, I have a pretty good team. You know, 4 years ago, we were on the last day, we were fighting for that final spot into the semifinals of Congressional Cup, and unfortunately, it didn't go our way. But there were some moments of real brilliance, and since 2019, we've made an effort to put the right people on the boat and start trying to build a team that could win this. Starting at the front, I had one of my now friends, Matt Cornwall, who's a former America's Cup sailor. Then I had Luke Payne, who sailed the last America's Cup in New Zealand with the U.S. team American Magic. And then behind him, I had a trimmer, Mal Parker, who sailed in the 07 America's Cup in Valencia. And then I had my tactician, Jakob Aschenbrenner from Denmark. And we had to have a late last-minute crew swap due to some weight issues. We were a little bit under where we wanted to be on weight, and we weren't able to fit a seventh member, so we had to swap out somebody the week before. And we brought in Portuguese sailor Bernardo Freitas from Cash Guy.
So, Chris Poole, take us through exactly what the race entails, what every day sort of looked like in a nutshell for the competitors.
So the nice part about sailing in Long Beach is that the breeze is pretty much on a set schedule. It usually comes in around 11 o'clock. Racing gets underway at 11:30. So the mornings are, I wouldn't call it relaxed, but normally we'll get down to the boat around 8:30 in the morning, put the kite up so it can start to dry in the morning sun. Have a little breakfast, have a little team chat for the day, talk about what weather we might see, and then kind of head out in the water. But as far as racing goes, they're usually pretty long days when you think about it. You start your morning at 8 o'clock, leaving your post house, and then you're usually not getting home until 7:30 or 8 o'clock that night. And you're kind of, as I would describe, all the sailors have to be kind of switched on so the mental fatigue can get pretty high towards the end of the event after 5 days of that.
What I mean by that is, where are you going? Are you racing out to a cone and turning around? What kind of race is it?
So it's a fairly short race compared to most other sailing on keel boats. With match racing targets, 18 to 20 minute race. It's a windward leeward race course. We have three top marks in varying degrees of separation, so that way race committee, if they have a shift, they can send the match to have as fair of an upwind as they can. Then we have a leeward gate back to the top mark, and then downwind through the finish right off the pier. So it'll be four legs.
Tell us a little bit about the boats, because everybody has the same boat, and those boats are provided for you. And just so our audience knows, give us a little details on that, please.
Yeah, so the beauty of match racing, and part of the reason I love it so much, is that it's not about the equipment that you have. All the boats that are provided at any of the World Match Racing Tour events are all one design, which means they're all identical. And also the boats are tuned by the staff that maintain the fleet. So you can't adjust your, you know, your rig tension or anything. All you can do is, you know, trim the sails better than your opponent and figure out how to sail the boat better than the rest of the teams on the water. It really brings up, to be successful at match racing, you really do have to be the best sailor, best team in the world, not just, you know, good in one specific boat. You have to be able to, you know, jump from one boat. Like here we have the Catalina 37s, which are very traditional, old school boats with what we call a dip pole and sheets and guys. And then some of the boats, like the next event on the tour, will be in Sweden, which will be using a planing asymmetrical boat. So you have to be versed in all boats, not just one specific class.
After winning the Congressional Cup, did you kind of feel like being cheeky and asking for a Congressional Medal of Honor?
No, it was, you know, that would be nice, but I think I'm just happy to have my name in that record book. That's something I don't think, I don't know if it will ever be done again, but.
Well, and also the Crimson Jacket, of course.
Yeah, that was, you know, it's similar to the master, the green jacket at the Masters, and, you know, to be able to have one hanging up in my closet is truly something, although currently mine's at the dry cleaners. It got a bit of champagne and rum on it the other night, so first thing I did when I got back home to the East Coast was take it to my dry cleaner to get put back into usable service.
So as I always wondered about that and the Masters, do you have to say I'm a 44 long, or do you win and then they ask you your size?
Well, that's funny. So the family that maintains the jackets, one of the members, Commodore of the Westerfields, have the jackets at their house in various sizes. And their daughter, who's a friend of mine, came up to me in the morning at breakfast and asked me if she could get my jacket size in case I won. And I actually turned and I told her no. I said, I don't want to give it to you because I don't want to risk jinxing it.
Right.
And I could see that her mom, when she went back and told her mom that at the table, she was a little grumpy. So I went over and talked to them and I said, I will text you as soon as the race is over. So you have at least 2 hours to get the jacket ready. And but I just can't give it to you now.
And
so a little bit nervous.
Did you feel bad knowing that that family was then rooting against you?
I don't think they're rooting against me. I think they're just like, you know, I think they're happy to see me go well. And if I, you know, had to delay them getting the jacket ready, I think they were okay with that.
Well, and also this is very much of a family experience because you know a lot of the racers that you're racing against, and you've been to the Long Beach Yacht Club several times. You know, what was the party like afterwards?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the racers are friends and actually former teammates that have sailed with Riptide Racing. I think three of the boats we were racing against all had sailors that have raced with me over the past 10 years. So it's a very much a family and friend aspect, like, atmosphere at that club, and the members at that club are, you know, absolutely there for the party. They're there to be a part of the experience. And the party was very long and late into the night. I think I got home at 3:30 in the morning, and I was expecting to have a nice sleep in, but I woke up at 7 a.m. and was still a bit in shock of what had just happened on the race course the day before. And I woke up and I was like, it didn't feel real. So I went and had a coffee and just kind of appreciated the previous 5 days of racing.
Before we let you go, tell us, and don't be, if you could, humble, what was the most genius tactic that you moved to win these races?
Yeah. Well, it was interesting. Our, looking back on it, we only had one first top mark that we weren't in front at. So I think a lot of the genius came down to me and my tactician Joachim's communications in the pre-starts. You know, every start we were in the position we wanted to be, either even or ahead. And from there, we just kind of, Joachim never really missed a shift. And having a tactician that sees the race course the way the skipper does allows the skipper to go and just drive the boat as fast as he can. And that's, you know, what got me into this whole sport of sailing in the first place, is I could sail an Opti really quickly, and now I get to do it again as a professional.
So what's next? Do you sit on the laurels, or are you right back at it this weekend?
No, actually, I have a little bit of time off. I've got some other, just some training for the foiling mock class over the next month. And no, I'm not really. I'm just kind of looking forward to the next event. As I said all week at the Congressional Cup, you know, our goal is to get better every single race and be better than the day before. So, you know, I know I can still be even better. So the next event will be in Marstrand, Sweden in July. It's on my 4th of July over there. And, you know, come out swinging and try to keep building on our performance that we had out in California.